It is so good to see you guys this morning. And, you know, as we, first of all, my name is Greg. I'm lead pastor here. If you're visiting for the first time, so blessed to have you. And by God's grace, if God is leading you here to learn more about Jesus, that is our great privilege to lead you to Jesus Christ. He is the reason we live. And so, Matt, thank you for that worship. Thank you this morning for all of you guys and Mindy for doing that. Can I pray? We pray. So grateful, and it's all to God's glory. Let me pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you. It is by your grace that we're even here today, breathing air, breathing out praise. For you, Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, this service is about you, your character, your deliverance, your reconciliation plan, and we thank you. We aim, Lord, to live our lives making you famous by confessing sin, repenting of sin, and following you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my wife Laura and I have moved a lot. 8 times in 12 years. We've been married, it'll be 18 years in April. But in the first 12 years, we moved 8 times. And so moving has been a part of our lives. I didn't say I liked moving. I'm just saying we moved a lot. Some places we only lived for like 6 months and we move again. I've always said that married couples should at least buy a house, sell a house, and move at least once in their life because of the sanctification that takes place during that time in a marriage. It is very humbling. Amen? As a church plant, we have also moved a lot. In the 5 years, now this is our 5th year, starting at High Point Church. We've done a lot of moving. We started, and I'm going to have some pictures show up, but we started in our home here in Altoona. That is the actual first service on January 22nd. About 20 of us showed up in my house, and that's where the service began, to the glory of God. Well, people started coming. And because I was learning how to preach and trying to get better, what better thing to do than to move to the Holiday Inn Express so that no matter what, we were at a Holiday Inn Express, we were going to learn something. Did they still do those commercials, anybody? You stayed at a Holiday Inn Express? Okay, Jed got it. That was our first service over at Holiday Inn Express. So you can see there's a few more people, and as people began to come to the Holiday Inn Express, we moved over to Willowbrook Elementary. Willowbrook Elementary in March, that is our first service. We were going this lengthwise at that time. So we had a couple 100 people or so there for that first service at Willowbrook Elementary. From there, we moved to Grandview Christian School for a while because they were doing some renovations at Willowbrook, and so we moved there. And then we moved back to Willowbrook. And now we're at Clay Elementary. Can I tell you my prayer is this isn't our final move? When God opens a door to move, by God's grace, we will move. That is a Christian's call, is it not? In the passage this morning, I actually decided to do a topical message this morning as we come to this new gym. We'll start back in our series in the Gospel of Luke, but this morning I just wanted to do kind of a topical message, kind of a refresher of where God is leading and what His Scripture tells about moving. And so I want you to turn to the Old Testament if you have your Bibles, but if you don't, look up on the screen. If you have your bulletin, you can look on the bulletin. But in Numbers chapter 9, we see that the Israelites, God's chosen people, did a lot of moving themselves. And so, not unlike a church plant today, they had to move. In Numbers chapter 9, follow along with me. Verse 15, it says, "On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of testimony. And at the evening it was over, the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance by fire at night. And whenever the cloud by night, or whenever the cloud lifted from the tent, after the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and didn't leave. Sometimes the cloud was only there for a few days. And according to the command of the Lord, they remained in the camp. And according to the command of the Lord, then they would set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. But when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. And it continued for a day in and out, and the cloud lifted and they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or longer time, when the cloud continued over the tabernacle, they abided there." The word abide means to continue. And Israel remained in camp, and they did not set out and left the cloud lifted. At the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord of Moses. You see in this passage, when God told the people of Israel to leave, they left. When he told them to set up camp, they set up camp. You look at verses 18, 20, and 23. At the command of the Lord, the people set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. So we have these commands to move when God tells you to move. You do what God says. By the way, that's always a good idea, right? To listen to God, to obey his commands. But listen, before you can move, before you can listen to God tell you to move and set up and leave and all those different things, there has to be a gathering place. There has to be a place where people come together to worship God. That's what the tabernacle was for. God set his dwelling place on the earth. And Israel was supposed to set up that tabernacle to represent God's presence with the people. And so that cloud, this cloud in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 13, verse 21, tells us this cloud represents the Shekinah glory. It meant that God was there. And so when they saw this cloud, they knew God was present at the tabernacle where they worshiped. And so when the cloud left, it was time for them to leave. And every time that they set up the tabernacle, wherever they moved, wherever God told them to move, there God was present. In verse 15, we see, it says, "On the day that the tabernacle was set up, God gave instructions to the people of God on what they were to do to set up this gathering place." We learn about 6 chapters of what this tabernacle is in Exodus. I'm not going to go through all those, but if you want to study Exodus 36 all the way to, I think, 41 it goes to. But see, God's church today is no different. In the New Testament, this gathering of believers is represented in Jesus changing individuals' lives. That's what the church is all about. We read in the New Testament in John chapter 1, verse 14. Look at this scripture. "And the Word," this is Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us." The word "dwelt among us" in the Greek literally means tabernacle. So Jesus tabernacled with us. Jesus represents this presence in believers' lives on earth. And so when you and I, me, November 2nd, 2001, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He tabernacled with me. He pitched His tent in me. And the Holy Spirit is this seal, this great inheritance of eternal life. And thus, everywhere a believer in Christ goes, so God goes with you. That should get an amen. So what about those who don't know Christ? See, even within the church of the people of Israel, there were some that believed and some that didn't believe. And within this gathering place, there are people who believe and don't believe. And so we gather together as a visible church, a gathering of believers, so that you could meet Jesus. Some of you to meet Jesus for the first time. You know, the last service over at Willowbrook Elementary, and the grace of God, there was a woman named Lisa. Is Lisa here? Raise your hand, Lisa. Are you out there? There she is, over there in the corner. Lisa came up to me after service. Her good friends, John and Susie Urich, who had brought her here, and we've had an opportunity to meet Lisa. Lisa came up to me after service, and she said she put her trust and faith in Jesus Christ last Sunday. Yeah, amen. I went up to her, and she says, I want to make Jesus famous. Amen? We want people to be introduced to Jesus. It's no different than what the Corinthian church was doing in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, we learned this when we studied 1 Corinthians, but look at verse 14, 24 and 25. To those who are outside of the church, in a sense, outside of true, genuine followers of Christ, they could come to a visible service and meet Jesus. It says, but if all prophecy, meaning proclaim God's word, that's what we do here, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, by the grace of God, he is convicted by all. And he is called to an account by all. The secrets of his or her heart are disclosed. And so falling on his or her face, he or she will worship God and declare that God is really here. His presence is really here. In the followers of Jesus Christ, He is here. Whether there were two or three among us, Jesus is here. God desires to comfort us in His presence. And as followers of Jesus Christ, He is with you, pitching His tent with you all the day long. Verse 16 of Numbers, it says that they, and so it was always, that this tabernacle was always within a visible representation for the people of Israel. It was such a comfort to them to have this tabernacle and then the Shekinah glory coming, that they felt and saw the visible presence of God. That's what a church is, a visible presence. A safe place. Brandon said it right. This isn't a country club. This is a place where sinners can meet Jesus. And we're all sinners in here. But we desire to be changed by the glory of God. We desire to repent and turn to Him because of the work He's doing in our lives. Now, there will be uncertainty when it comes to change. Whenever you have to move and get up and God tells you you have to go and all these different things, there's a lot of uncertainty that goes with that. Even coming here, we're like, well, I wonder if this is going to work. I wonder if that's going to work. And so there's a lot of uncertainty anytime there's a change in your life. And yet God's promise, even the uncertainty in Numbers, it says, verse 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, it says, even when many days sometimes few days, sometimes the morning and the night. And so there was this uncertainty that was taking place, and yet God was always there. And so whether we move to clay or we have to move out of clay, wherever we go, followers of Jesus Christ, He will be there. And He will comfort us. And so we listen to His instructions as a church. And so we come to Clay Elementary. We continue to read God's Word. We continue to study His Word. We want to listen to His counsel. That's what this place will always be. We're in good hands, High Point. We're in God's hands. So what are we going to do here? What do we do as a church? We just moved. Does everything change? And so really, I want to focus this service on exactly what our mission is, if we need a reminder. What is the mission of the church of God as He has pitched His tent in a follower of Jesus Christ? Has He told us what to do when we move from one place to the next? Yes, He has told us in Matthew 28, days before He would be taken up back to heaven to be on His Father's side, He told us what our mission would be. He told us what He asked us to do. And then in Matthew 28, it says this: Go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe all that He has commanded. And behold, He will be with you all the way to the end of the age. You know, there was a day, not too many years ago, when I was hired as a banker at Wells Fargo, before I was in ministry. And on that day, I officially started in, like, I think it was, I wrote it down, October 1st, 2006. I was the official banker in Ankeny, Iowa at Wells Fargo. My boss would tell you I was a banker. I had a little plaque that said personal banker. But I got to tell you, I didn't have a clue what it meant to be a banker. So the first few months, if not half a year, was spent just training how to be what I'm called to be, which is a personal banker. They had tools and resources, so many tests and things that I had to pass. It was mind-boggling. Yet, my boss, every morning, called me a personal banker. On November 2nd, 2001, I became a follower of Jesus Christ. I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, and to change this wicked heart. In my living room floor in Ankeny, Iowa, 2914 Southwest Coves, on a Friday night, I knew I was a sinner before a holy God and I needed salvation. So I grabbed my wife by the hand and I got on my knees in the middle of my living room floor and I asked Him to save me, please. I was a follower of Jesus Christ. I didn't have the foggiest clue what the heck that meant. And I could tell you, I was so happy. I certainly did not deserve the title of a believer in Christ. I began to watch people. Specifically, a guy named Chuck and a pastor named Pat. And pastor named Dave. And I began to look at these people and I began to study them. How they treated their wives. How their hobbies kind of fell to the wayside and Christ became bigger in their lives. All of a sudden, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, whoa, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. They're not doing it to earn some sort of salvation. They're doing it out of a love for Christ. I saw how they talked to their kids. I saw how they became disciples of Christ. So why is this important for High Point Church? Why is it important to understand what that very call in Matthew 28 is all about? Because listen, for 4 years, God has given us an opportunity to gather together in Altoona. Praise the Lord. We start year five. We're in our fifth year. We must never forget what your call is if you are a follower of Christ. And that is to make disciples. The word go, literally in the Greek, means as you are going. So in other words, as you're moving, as you wake up, whatever you're doing, you are making a disciple. If you are a follower of Christ, the question is what kind of disciple? What kind of disciple are your kids seeing in their dad or their mom? See, our call as a church, as Christ is in us, is to make disciples, learners of Jesus. He says, as you are going in your life, your day-to-day life, you make disciples. The Greek word is matheteo. Literally means the process of sanctifying people in the Word of God. So in other words, you are called to progressively work in people's lives God's Word as you're going. You don't get to take a break. It's a desire that comes and births out of your heart as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a chore. It's a privilege. It's not a duty. It's to the glory of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, as we are going, we are to make learners of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is just a learner. And so our desire at High Point Church today, every day, whether we're here or somewhere else, followers of Jesus Christ are to make disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what the early church did. This is what every New Testament church does. In Acts 14, 21, at the very beginnings of the church, listen to the call of the disciples. It says, when they had preached the gospel to the city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. This was just a normal thing within the church. And by God's grace, this will be a safe place to know you're hearing God's word and being taught God's word. Hence why we're doing that Sunday night service. Josh is going to be starting out that how to study your Bible. Because I know everybody here knows how to study their Bible. No, we need help. We need encouragement. We're not called to read our Bibles to check off a list and say, I read my Bible, I'm good. No, we want to learn more about the character of God. So it changes ourselves. It changes us. It makes us more loving, more like Jesus. That's God's call. You know, as your pastor for the last 5 years, it's been a great privilege to bring God's word, to disciple people to God's word. And I will continue to do so. But my job is to equip you. The pastor's job is not to do it all. It's all of our jobs that know Jesus Christ. The pastor's job is to equip the saints for ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 says. And so as we close, I want you to get an idea, a reminder for most of us here, but why we do what we do. This disciple-making, God-centered, gospel-centered church, by His grace, why we do what we do. In a sense, the philosophy of why we do. This is on our website. It's been on there every year since the first year that we kind of put this together. But I just want to remind you as we close. The first thing is this. The starting point of our ministry, this ministry, God's church, is God, not human authority. What does that mean? What it means is, what is God teaching you? What it means is, how is God working in your life? It's not about what you're doing. It's what God is teaching you about himself. We desire to preach and teach God's word because this is all about him. It will be the starting point of every ministry we do, which is gospel-centered, word-driven. Whether you're a kid and you head over to Val Jersevic in Children's Church, you are learning God's word, and we're pointing people to Jesus. Secondly, and that's important, the starting point of our ministry is the ministry is God. Okay? Which brings in the number two, which is kind of a correlation of that. The guide of our ministry is the Bible, not human wisdom. Listen, there are so many emotions that can be jaded by sin. There are so many emotions that can lead you in a path that is not to glorify God. That is why we need his word. That is why we study God's word. So we learn about the character of God, and he exposes us for our nakedness, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say. God's word pries away from the emotion and draws us to a centrality towards the cross. We see a suffering Christ go to the cross willingly to save us. And so thus we know part of a Christian's life is suffering and pain. And that our desire is to honor God through that and maybe point people to Jesus through it. God's word tells us this. And then not only is the ministry about God, the ministry that we learn through is the Bible. Number three, the focus of our ministry is people, not programs. We don't just do things to gather together. We gather together to point people to Jesus. That's what our logo says, HPC, pointing people to Jesus. Our desire is for people to meet Jesus. Like Lisa for the first time, or those of us who have known Christ for any length of time, we continue to need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus in our lives. We need to see Jesus working through our lives. Number four, the goal of our ministry is mature Christians, not simply converts. Our desire is, and all by God's grace, to see Elisa come to saving knowledge of Christ. That is all of the grace of God. But we are not going to leave her alone. That's a good thing, Lisa, sorry. We're going to help her grow. We're going to lead her to a better understanding of the character of God. Because this is all about seeing people growing. Colossians says that our desire is to see Christians mature in their faith. We don't want to see people just have that elementary truth, which is a great truth, that Jesus died for your sins, but also to grow in that knowledge and what that means to your life. We desire to see Christians mature, and that's why, like Pastor Chris, our teaching pastor, does a theology program. That's not for college-educated master's students. It's for everyone to learn more about God. And so Chris has his theology program that he does Sunday mornings. It'll be starting up again here pretty soon. Number five, only two more, I promise. The environment of our ministry is a corporate fellowship, not individualism. The desire within a church is to see the gifts that God has given us to be used in our community. If you have a gift of mercy to help someone who's sick, if you have a gift of hospitality, to invite someone into your home, to welcome them as they come in this door. If you have the gift of evangelism, to be able to share the gospel and to see people come to a saving knowledge. If you want to know anything about the gifts of God, we desire them to be used within the church corporately. Christianity is not a all alone, I'll do it myself. Christianity is a group of believers fellowshipping together, using their gifts, holding each other accountable. This is why this is so important on Sunday. You don't get a check off list. I went to church on Sunday, I'm good. Listen, you come to church because you need to. We need to be around other believers to be encouraged, to hold each other accountable. Because it's hard, right? It's hard to be a Christian. I need the encouragement. Many of you have been that encouragement to me. May we grow in that. And then finally, the process of our ministry is spiritual reproduction, not spiritual addition. We are not here to just get bigger. And yes, we see pictures, and by God's grace, more people have come. But our desire is to see people get discipled so that they can disciple other people, and those people can disciple other people, and a lot of people are going to know Jesus. Amen? That's why we're here. So when someone moves to South Carolina, or someone moves to wherever they move to, Timbuktu, they learn Jesus here. And they'll spread Jesus there. We are about spiritual reproduction, not just spiritual addition. I love that God has given us this place. But it would be a shame if we don't continue the same philosophy wherever we go. Amen? HBC, this is the plan. My desire is to help. My desire is to encourage. But our mission stays the same. You know, I mentioned that I learned how to be a banker by watching and observing. I never stopped learning when I was a banker. There were things that I knew toward the end that I didn't know toward the beginning, and there were still things that I needed to know. You will never stop learning as a disciple of Christ. There is always something new and fresh you need to learn about God. Do you want to be a learner? Do you desire to follow Christ? Some of you, maybe for the first time, like Lisa, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Put away the works that you think are getting you to heaven and look to the cross where Jesus died for your sins. Put your faith in Him alone for the salvation of your soul and become a learner of Jesus. See, the difference between works and love is what compels you. Paul said, "For the love of Christ compelled me." That is a disciple of Christ. By God's grace, we are making disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Yes, Jesus, we thank you. For you said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, you continue to build your church. You built it with adding another named Lisa. And maybe today you're building it with another person. For it's your kingdom that we desire to build, to be a part of. Lord, my prayer is that someone would be added to your church today. And then to us who know you, who have known you for any length of time, that we would desire to be a real disciple of Christ. And to maybe confess sin right now before you, even in our prayers, that we have allowed the world and our hobbies or any number of things get in the way of genuine learning. To put away the idol of pride. and be humbled by the cross. Jesus, we thank you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Please stand.